If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's terrifying tale is about this park ranger. Let's just say, wrong place at the wrong time. Witnesses something he was never supposed to. And now, he wants to come clean about this cover-up. Now let's get spooky. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. If anyone finds this, the killer's name is Anton Ferdy. In the event he no longer goes by that identity, you could probably recognize him from the scar on the backside of his head. It goes all the way from his crown to his neck, and looks a little like the lightning bolt on Harry Potter's head. Well, that's how it looks to me. Other than that, he's a medium-built gentleman with a bald head and piercing blue eyes. You may ask why I'm telling you this, and the reason is simple. I want justice. Not for the John Doe in the park, nor for the family I read about in the newspaper a week later. The justice I want is for me. You see, I saw Anton commit those murders. But in exchange for my silence, he promised he would let me live. So, on a way, this is a note from behind the grave, pointing you in the direction of a killer, and acknowledging my guilt in letting the murders go unsolved. But I was only a park ranger. I had no experience in the world of killers and dead people. So what was I supposed to do? Let me start at the beginning. I'm sure my nonsensical ramblings are nothing more than confusing at this point in time. When I met Anton, I had been a park ranger for 5 years. I loved this job more than anything. I was out in nature, caring for the woods, protecting them, and minding my business. Just enjoying my job. Anton was part of the janitorial staff. He joined, as I said, when I was in my 5th year. He was a pretty mild-mannered guy, greeting me and asking how my day was on the occasions when our paths crossed. He was always pushing a trash can with a smile on his face, janitor's uniform untucked and a little messy. But none seemed to mind his unkept appearance. So who was I to tell him to tuck his shirt in? We bumped into each other in the canteen sometimes, but we never talked about anything more than the weather, or how our day was, and who we thought was going to win whatever sports event was lined up for that weekend. My office was a small room, almost shack-like. It was almost of a central hub for information and to help the guests, so it was situated on a hiking trail for their convenience. If anyone needed anything, the trusty park ranger was on their path to help. There wasn't much in my office save a radio and some filing cabinets. I didn't need much else besides a desk. But the office felt like my own little sanctuary. I would sit and drink a cup of coffee, looking out the trail with the radio chattering in the background. I could wave at the trail regulars, school kids and hikers who loved taking walks in the glorious park. This was what park rangers did. We made people feel safe and ensure all was well in the park we governed. Nothing made me happier than looking out and seeing the splendor and beauty the good Lord had given us. It was here in my office that I saw it happen. I can't remember the exact date, but it was a Wednesday. I know that because the janitors always had their weekly meetings on Wednesdays. I was sipping my coffee, listening to the sports results being read on the radio when I saw him. Anton shuffled backwards along the path, dragging something visibly heavy that was wrapped in black plastic sheets. The trees around him shook in the wind, almost as if they were scared of him. I should have paid attention and listened to the trees. Instead, being the park ranger that I am, I set out to help Anton carry whatever it was he was moving. Rather than his usual standard greeting, I was met with hostility and dismissal.
"What are you doing here? Why aren't you doing your patrol?"
Anton asked me, out of breath from straining. I explained that I got to work earlier that day, so I was ahead of my usual schedule. I offered him a hand with his baggage, but the response was so obscene, I'm hesitant to write it here. I shrugged my shoulders and took a step back in shock, allowing Anton to continue his voyage down the trail. His package got snagged on a jutting root, and it ripped the sheets a far bit. As this happened, I saw Anton look up at me in panic. I had not noticed the contents underneath the sheets, but his reaction to the tear made me look in curiosity. Blood leaked from the tear, accompanied by a foot, devoid of a shoe. In that moment, I could not comprehend what I was seeing. I took a step forward to get a better view and make sure I wasn't being deceived by my eyes when it hit me. And by it hit me, I mean Anton. He moved at a speed that seemed almost superhuman, and with the ferocity of a pack of hungry lions in Africa looking at a child, his fist connected with my nose. The pain was explosive, and a deep heat roared from the tip of my nose to the back of my head. I felt a warmth running down my face and knew immediately my nose was bleeding. I looked down and confirmed my suspicion as I saw blood gushing from where my nose used to be. I was yanked forward like a dog on a leash and had another blow land on the side of my head. My head felt fuzzy, and a loud ringing sounded in my head. The world began to tilt, only for me to realize I was now falling. I hit the ground and felt surprisingly calm. It was probably the smell of pine that eased me, and I was okay with lying in the dirt. Over the ringing, I heard Anton's voice boom.
"Now look, man! I didn't want to have to do this, but now I'm gonna have to kill you too!"
He almost whined. I felt him straddle me as I laid comfortably in the dirt, and I was pulled up by the collar.
"Wait,"
I told him weakly.
"I can help you bury the body. None knows the park better than me,"
I assured him. I braced for another blow, but none ever came. Anton sat atop of me, obviously pondering the offer I had put forward to him.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
"Get up then and hurry,"
he barked at me. I got up as quickly as I could, my world spinning and head ringing.
"If you tell anyone about this or I get caught, you're going to join this bugger in the hole. And trust me, I'll have nothing to lose. I'll make you suffer,"
Anton said with a dead certainty in his voice. I fumbled for the legs of the plastic sheet, not concerned about the blood that had leaked on my hands. My head was killing me. I could feel I wasn't thinking straight. Anton asked me where we were going to do it, and I mumbled some incoherent words to him. A crack, almost like that of a whip, rung out. He slapped me across the face harder than the punch he gave me earlier felt.
"Get yourself together and tell me where we're going,"
he hissed at me. I apologized and explained my head was fuzzy and I was doing my best. He wasn't impressed with that and glared at me. If looks could kill, right? I told him about a thicket fairly far off the main trail we were currently on. It was so deep in the park that only the rangers really were knowledgeable and willing to get to it. There was nothing special about the thicket. It was just far away enough that I thought we would be undisturbed. He agreed that my suggestion was probably the best option for the moment. So we set off away from the path and towards this poor guy's burial grounds. The trees got thicker and the shrubbery more rough as we went deeper in. It was easily one of the hardest things I had ever done, as hiking this way in itself was difficult enough. Now add the difficulty of my foggy head, dulled senses, and the weight of the body I was carrying. From where we were, on a normal day, it would have taken us about 45 minutes to get to the clearing. With the difficulties we were currently facing, I estimated it was going to take at least double that time. The forest was eerily quiet. Maybe the animals were looking on silently, judging. "Who is this?" I asked finally. Anton replied, "What does it matter? He's going in a hole." We reverted back to silence, the odd cricket chirping and our heavy breaths the only sounds around us. I lost all sense of time as the forest around us darkened. The trees seemed to close in around us, sealing us almost like a tomb. We got to the area I had in mind, and I informed Anton we had arrived. He grunted and dropped his half of the corpse, causing me to fall due to bearing the full weight on my own. I was exhausted, and my head injuries coupled with the decent amount of blood loss contributed to the weakness. In this moment, I realized a glaring mistake we had made. Anton, I started. He looked at me, breathing heavy and not saying a word. I continued. We didn't bring shovels. The look in his eyes made me shake. The aura he gave off was worse than any dangerous animal I had ever come across. He asked me why I was only bringing this up now, to which I responded that I had never buried a body before, and so had adequate preparation for such a task. He informed me that we were going to go back and get shovels, so we moved as many branches and logs as we could to hide the body under, doing our best to conceal it completely in the event that someone came to this area for whatever reason. The trip back to my office was much quicker than the initial voyage, and still we moved in absolute silence. I don't know why this stood out to me. I have no idea what I hoped Anton and I would talk about. I guess I had seen in movies that when hostages talk to their captors, the personalization made the captors more likely to let them go, because they humanized their hostage. This wasn't the case, as Anton picked up one of my display knives and tucked it into his waistband. He let me know it was just a precaution, and he wouldn't use it on me if I didn't give him a reason to. We got the shovels from the supply closet at the back of my office, and once again, set out to complete our task. Exhausted is an understatement, and I couldn't imagine how grueling digging the ground would be. I was almost in autopilot on the way back, as before I knew it, we were there again. Digging a grave felt like an almost impossible task. I had never dug a grave before, but I would imagine it would be a lot easier than what we were facing now. With each dig into the ground, my head pounded in almost perfect synchronization. I had no idea how deep we had to dig, so I said as much to Anton.
"I'll let you know when to stop," I was told.
Thinking of the situation I was in, I had to consider a silver lining in that at least I didn't have to dig the hole on my own. Anton helped me at least. I wiped my face with my shirt, smearing blood, sweat, and dirt all over my khaki shirt. We were finally done. I looked at the somewhat deep hole before us, thinking how much alike to the abyss I would imagine is. Anton moved towards the sheets and instructed me to give him a hand. We tipped the body into the hole, and it landed with a sickening plop, most likely caused by the blood having accumulated in the sheets. Anton turned to me, a deep anger visible in his eyes. In this moment, I made peace with the fact I had most likely dug my own grave.
"Give me your shirt,"
he grunted at me. I handed it over without so much as a peep.
"Just so you know, this is insurance,"
he told me.
"If you tell anyone, or if the body gets found, your uniform will be buried with him. All the DNA evidence they'll need to bring you in,"
he continued. I was impressed with his foresight. He really had backed me into a corner. But with the receipt of the first punch, I had no intention of ever mentioning this to anyone. In fact, I was going to pack a duffel bag and drive until I couldn't see anymore.
"Well, now to wait." I stayed at work to keep an eye on the grave. That and Anton wants to be able to contact me at any time he likes. Therefore, he wants me to be here at the park. So, once again, if you're reading this, I'm dead. Look for Anton. Below is a map of where to find the body we buried. I could give instructions, but a map would be easy enough for even the silliest of people to follow. Do with this what you will.